The Word of God for our consideration today on this Reformation Sunday is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. Here St. Paul writes, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." The question addressed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the churches in Galatia is this: are we saved by God's grace alone and through faith alone in Christ Jesus and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world? Or is salvation obtained by our obedience to the law, and especially to the worship laws of the Old Testament, which include circumcision, observing the Sabbath and feast days, as well as abstaining from certain foods? In the days of Martin Luther, the question was similar. Are we saved by God's grace alone and through faith alone in Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world? Or is salvation obtained by our obedience to the teaching and ordinances of the Roman Church and its hierarchy, including outwardly keeping the Ten Commandments, doing assigned penance, purchasing indulgences, observance of church feasts and festivals, abstaining from certain foods, living a celibate life, revering the church-recognized saints, and on and on? And today the question remains before us: are we saved by God's grace alone and through faith alone in Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world? Or is salvation obtained by our outward keeping of the Ten Commandments, obedience to the teachings and ordinances of various churches and church bodies and their hierarchies, including the observance of church festivals and customs, abstaining from certain foods and drinks, etc.? How does the Apostle Paul answer that question for the churches in Galatia, which is in modern-day Turkey? What does he say in his letter to the Galatians? Though he had traveled through Galatia, preaching salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and his cross for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting, some had come from Judea saying that faith in Christ wasn't enough. To be a Christian also required being circumcised and keeping the commandments and ordinances given to the children of Israel by Moses, they said. Paul's answer, given in connection with his rebuke of the Apostle Peter: "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." Of course, the same was true in Luther's day. Neither Luther, nor priest, nor monk, nor nun, nor parishioner could be righteous before God by obedience to God's law or to the teachings of the Roman Church. All had come short and all stood condemned by God's law, and following the teachings of the Roman Church could not remedy their condemnation. And God's law still condemns us today, for none of us has kept it perfectly from the heart, as God requires. We are all guilty before God and deserving of the eternal torments of hell. How then can we sinners be saved? It is, as St. Paul writes, by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus kept all of God's commandments for us perfectly and without sin in thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. He was, as we read in Hebrews 4, in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And in Isaiah 53, verse 6, we read that God laid on him the iniquity of us all, and that he punished him in our stead, that we might look to him in faith and receive God's pardon and forgiveness. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And it is as St. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." But if we who have faith in Christ then add requirements and conditions to the gospel, saying that it is also necessary for salvation that we keep certain commandments, observe certain church rites or traditions, worship in a certain form or manner, or as taught by the Judaizers who troubled the Galatians, be circumcised and keep the worship laws of the Old Testament, do our failures make Christ a servant of sin? St. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, 17 through 19, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God." Since we have rejected the erring belief that we can be justified by our own works because of our sins and failings, do we then go back and rebuild the error we destroyed and now seek to be justified by faith plus works? Certainly not. For the law condemns us, and we died to the law when we trusted in Christ. Paul clearly points out that we have been condemned by God's law, and we, when we were joined to Christ in our baptisms, were joined to him in his death and his resurrection. Christ suffered the law's just condemnation of our sins for us when he died on the cross. And being joined to Christ through faith, his death was our death, and we have died to the law, that we might be alive in Christ and live to God. And the life we now live as believers is the risen Christ living in us, moving and empowering us to love God and gladly and willingly obey his commandments. St. Paul writes in verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So, dare we add any requirements or conditions to faith in Christ for our salvation? Do we add other things we must do to be saved, whether that be obedience to the Ten Commandments or the observance of certain church rites and customs? St. Paul's answer, "I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." And later in his epistle, Paul warned the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 4, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." And so we see that trying to add any of our sin-tainted works to the gospel overthrows the gospel. As soon as we add works of the law to the gospel as necessary for our salvation, we are no longer under grace, but under the law. And the law condemns us because we fail to keep it as God requires, perfectly, in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so I ask you, do you want to be forgiven and just and righteous in God's eyes and inherit everlasting life? Don't trust in your obedience to the Ten Commandments, your church membership, your religious life. Don't even add your works to the perfect works of Christ. If you do, you have come short. You stand condemned because of your failure to keep God's law perfectly as He requires. Trust in Christ alone. He fulfilled all the righteous demands of the law in your stead, and He suffered your just punishment and the punishment for the sins of the world when He was condemned and forsaken of God and died on the cross for our sins. Through faith alone in Christ's holy life and His innocent sufferings and death to atone for our sins, you are forgiven, just, and righteous in God's eyes, and you have the promise of eternal life in His kingdom. Again, St. Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. "For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. God grant to you such faith in His Son. Amen." I invite you to join me in the prayers of the Church. Almighty and everlasting God, worthy to be held in reverence by all the children of men, we give you most humble and hearty thanks for the innumerable blessings, both temporal and spiritual, which, without any merit or worthiness on our part, you have bestowed upon us. We praise you especially that you have preserved unto us in their purity your saving word and the sacred ordinances of your house. And we beseech you, O Lord, to grant and preserve unto your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and faithful pastors who shall preach your word with power, and help all who hear rightly to understand and truly to believe it. To that end, we pray your blessing on Bishop Heiser, on our pastors, and on all the pastors of our diocese. Especially do we remember today Pastor John Rudowitz and St. Boniface Evangelical Lutheran Church in Niles, Michigan. Bless also St. Ignatius Lutheran Seminary, its instructors and students, that men may be trained for the work of the ministry, and when called, faithfully preach and teach your life-giving word. Be the protector and defender of your people in all time of tribulation and danger, and may we, in communion with your church and in brotherly unity with all our fellow Christians, fight the good fight of faith and in the end receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace upon all the nations of the earth. Especially do we entreat you to bless our land and all its inhabitants and all who are in authority. Cause your glory to dwell among us, and let mercy and truth, righteousness and peace everywhere prevail. To this end, we commend to your care all our schools, and pray you to make them nurseries of useful knowledge and of Christian virtues, that they may bring forth the wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamities by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine. Protect and prosper everyone in his appropriate calling, and cause all useful arts to flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the widow and the fatherless children, the helper of the sick and the needy, and the comforter of the forsaken and distressed. We pray for all those ill from the coronavirus, from other diseases or afflictions, or suffering from the effects of isolation. We remember, especially today, Dick and Frieda Stulen, Janet Rush, and Mike Hawes. Grant health and healing to those ill and comfort all with the gospel promises of forgiveness of sins and the everlasting joys of heaven through faith in Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior. And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work which you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no man can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power, and receive us into your everlasting kingdom, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. We also join in the prayer which our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Steadfast in your word, curb those who by deceit or sword would ask the kingdom for your Son and bring to naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known, for you
Scripture is taken from the New King James Version, copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson, used by permission, all rights reserved. Music is from the Hymnal Project and used by permission.